This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. My guest this morning is Rebecca Sadinsky, Executive Director of the PCC Farmland Trust. Rebecca is here today to tell us about the work of the PCC Farmland Trust to secure, preserve, and steward threatened farmland in the Northwest, ensuring that generations of local farmers productively farm using sustainable organic growing methods. Welcome, Rebecca.
Hi, Diane. Glad to be here.
Why was the PCC Farmland Trust started? What is the history?
We have a great beginning story. Because we evolved out of a really specific need, and it was a farmer who came to PCC, a major client of this farmer, and the farmer is Nash. Nash's farm is over by Squim. And this was back when Squim was making a transition from being a sleepy town that is sitting right amongst some incredible farmland to being an attractive retirement community. Real estate prices were suddenly going up. And Nash was looking at farmland that used to grow carrots suddenly being available for houses. And that just hadn't been a problem before. And when it was, PCC, without a lot of thinking, said, gosh, I'm sure our membership will want to support that. Let's buy the farm and figure out what we do later. And what they did later was create the PCC Farmland Trust, which is a land trust. And there are land trusts all over the country, and probably the most famous is the Nature Conservancy. But there are wonderful local land trusts all over the community that save all kinds of valuable land. But it was a little bit of a new idea that it would be working farmland, as opposed to land that would be set aside for beautiful wetlands or really important forests. I mean, there's lots of great uses for land trusts. Our land trust is really focused on just one thing, and it is farmland. But specifically, it's for farmland that is farmed, and secondarily, that it is farmed using best sustainable practices, often organic practices.
Well, you've been alluding to this, but would you elaborate in regard to your mission?
Our mission is to really see if we can hold land, which is uniquely what land trusts do, and we use this audacious term, in perpetuity, forever. And we use various techniques. So sometimes the land trust outright buys the land, and then we're a landlord. And we make sure that the best practices are used by way of a lease. And sometimes we use something called a conservation easement, which is very common among land trusts and essentially does this kind of crazy idea of just literally buying only the development rights, buying those off, extinguishing them or transferring them off the property. And then what's left is the farmland at its farming value, not at its development value.
What is your connection to PCC Natural Markets, the food co-op?
I always like to think of them as our very best friend, but they do a range of things to support us. But we are a separate nonprofit, and yet we're really closely allied with them in the form of they're very creative in helping think about ways in which their membership can support our nonprofit.
What is your overall approach to saving farmland?
Our overall approach is to make sure it's farmed and food farmed, by the way. We're really focused on a couple of criteria in the larger world of farming. We're mostly talking about family farmers because that's the scale of farming that we're talking about, small and moderate sized farms. They're growing food. They're growing local food because of the scale that they're growing. And they're also using best sustainable practices. And sustainable is a word that's used a lot. But in farming, it traditionally means with the sense of the incredible natural resources that are important to farming, but important to our larger social world. I would add that not only is it air and water quality, but it's soil quality. So it really features harnessing this great soil and stewarding it into the future so that it remains really valuable.
Where do you operate?
Our focus has been the state of Washington. So we've got farms all over the state. But recently, we've, in addition, gathered some of our resources and capability to really dive deeper into two places, Snoqualmie Valley and Puyallup Valley. And that's really to see if we can't get smarter and more capable at doing the most threatened farms, which are those that are in our near urban environment. Those farms are, of course, generating food and really protecting sustainable qualities, the natural resource attributes of the farmland. But they have this huge value in that they retain the rural in our near urban settings. There are huge educational opportunities because of that for the larger, more urban suburban communities. And they're very highly valued because people in our suburban and urban communities really like to know that farms are nearby. And frankly, those are the farms that really, really have to grow sustainably because they're right up next to where a lot of people live.
On your website, you state that your inspiration comes from two sources, land trusts and the organic sustainable food community. Would you explain?
In a way, because we were founded first in a food community, I think we have a really strong footing in what's the food that we produce, as well as the land trust community, which is a very vibrant community, but it's really about land and resources. So it's been a great way for us to just make sure we've got our eyes on both those things. So for us, we don't produce farmers in any way. We try to, you know, protect something called land. It does mean that we have to really think about that, you know, between food and land are the producers. And it's a really important job for us to just make sure that our land gets used. And in any way possible, we want to make sure that land is also affordable in the future, because our goal is to create opportunities for those producers to farm near cities where the land is most expensive.
When you started originally in 1999, you focused on buying farmland outright, and now you also buy conservation easements. Why did you make that switch?
It actually isn't a switch. It's a both and. Both those tools are necessary in different ways. And if you think where we start with farmland owners. And farmland owners currently are often very close to retirement, farmers who may have already retired. And for some of them, easements don't make a lot of sense because they really are expecting to turn the land over, as we have heard often, but it's important to put an exclamation point past this. We're really changing how we find our farmers. Sons and daughters of farmers are not necessarily going into farming, and our farmers are much older. So we're kind of working up a different system for how to perpetuate family farms. So in some cases, the people who own farmland right now are really interested in making sure that it stays in that shape over time, and they have interns and others who they really want to take on their business and their farm. And for them, an easement makes a lot of sense because their goal is to keep it in those hands. They know who they want to have that farm. But if you're a farmer who owns farmland and you don't have a clue who's going to buy your land and you don't have any sense of it, you really want someone to buy it. So for that land, our land trust is more useful buying than it is buying an easement.
What conditions do your easements place on farmers?
It's a longer list than I could possibly tell you, but in short, they are the kinds of activities that would restrict farming from a natural waterway, would protect and buffer that natural waterway, but also would be best practices around soil nutrition. And often they are organic practices. And I say often because not all our land starts organic, and so it has to move in that direction. So it has some pretty heavy restrictions using the National Organic Practices around restricting chemical pesticides and herbicides.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Rebecca Sadinsky, Executive Director of the PCC Farmland Trust. Our topic is the work of the PCC Farmland Trust to secure, preserve, and steward threatened farmland in the Northwest. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on listener-powered KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. What have been the accomplishments of the PCC Farmland Trust so far?
We're looking at just building as many farms as we can conserve. We don't build farms, but we create the opportunity for farms. So our real goals include the next family farmer finding a location. That's always our goal, is to keep creating more of those opportunities. So we count our accomplishment in number of farms. So far, we've conserved 13 farms. Let's call it 13 organic farms, because that's important. And it's 1,264 acres. So the number of farms is not great, but it's methodical. So our next great accomplishment, I hope, is to speed up the work. Again, our eyes are on that next generation of farms. And so we're really looking at how do we make sure that the farmers that are currently on land, we're doing two things. One, making sure that those farms stay in production, not just say conserve, but stay in production and stay affordable. So kind of an affirmative goal. And then the other is to increase the amount of conservation that we're doing.
Give us a sense of the types of farms you have saved. How large are they and what do they grow?
We are looking at a range that goes from around 20 acres to, I think our largest is a 300 acre. As you can imagine, in eastern Washington, farms are larger. The average size of a farm, I believe, even in Skagit County is something like 30 acres, really different over on the east of the mountainside. So we're trying to do both, and because we figure in the future, different kinds of farms need different scale of farmers. If you're a grain farmer, you need a lot of room. If you're a livestock farmer, you need a little more room. We know people who are growing on 5 acres quite intensively in very close to the city and growing for community-supported agriculture. So it really varies, and we want to keep that variety. We hope that we create the opportunity for people to farm in the future in all the ways.
What are some specific examples of farms you have saved so far?
I don't have a favorite, but here's one that's on my mind because I was just sitting in a room with this farmer, and this is a Snoqualmie Valley farmer who's very, very well known. These are the Hawkinsons who grow at Jubilee Farm. They're very nearby the city. There they are in Snoqualmie Valley, and they're really working so hard with others to make sure that farming stays viable in Snoqualmie Valley. Their own farm is quite successful and is a real mecca for people in the larger area who are trying to figure out how do we keep farming viable in King County, where in fact it is, you know, very, very endangered. And so they're working with others in their area to form marketing co-ops and other backbone kinds of infrastructure that we need to make sure that farming stays viable in addition to the land. So we love working with farmers who are really thinking about the full range of where are we going to get the next farmers and how are we going to train them and how are we going to get the product to market. I mean, there are these really creative people who are also day in and day out farming, trying to think this all through, and we love working with them.
Would you speak about your strategy of trying to preserve agricultural corridors?
I'm glad you noticed that. It's really an important pilot project for us. So over in the Natural Resource Conservation, so let's say Land Trust, it's a well-understood concept that you try to plot your conservation in concentration so that you can create habitat quarters. So in that way, we're thinking, yes, it's really important in agricultural valleys to do the same. But in addition, it's probably important for the economics of farming. A farmer in an island surrounded by not farming is in a precarious condition because as other things fall off that you need, so famously, if you're advantaged by having a grange that helps market your product, but you need a critical mass of farmers to keep the grange going. So there's an important economic value, we believe, to preserving where we have a concentration of farmers, even though we want to continue to be available to those opportunities as they exist everywhere else. And then thirdly, if we could do the kind of farming that we're talking about, sustainable and organic, in a corridor, we could probably get a net environmental benefit that is different than what you would get by having in isolation a great organic farm surrounded by those who are not using the same practices. So for all those reasons, the survivability of a style of farming, the survivability of farming itself, but also for the eco benefits that it creates to the larger social network that our communities, we think concentration matters. We hope we also can therefore also keep farming more affordable and the land more affordable by concentrating.
Where is the food grown on the land you have saved sold?
Farm businesses are like any other business. They run a business and they make decisions. So a lot of farmers who are at the small to moderate scale farming are doing direct sales. And most of us would understand direct sales to be the farmers markets, which we see and love. But direct marketing includes the community supported agriculture, the folks who are getting food in a box every week. Those are really wonderful ways where farmers are essentially doing their direct marketing. That includes a really large-scale one, which would be Full Circle Farm. They're closely associated with the trust as well, as the folks who have families that are in a smaller scale. Let's say they serve 100 families or so who may come out to their farm and come get their box and enjoy that experience as well. So direct marketing is really important, but some of our farmers are definitely wholesaling, and they're delivering to a range of facilities, including PCC.
How is the PCC Farmland Trust funded?
We're primarily a fundraising organization. So there's two ways in which we need money, of course. We raise money to keep our staff and operations and our lights on, but we also raise money in huge amounts in a different way, and that is to buy land. So the capital needs, we use a range of sources, including our own private fundraising from really generous individuals in our larger metro area primarily. And that's been really important to us, and also some public sources. But our day-to-day, you know, keep the lights on, that really is largely individuals in our metro area saying it's really important to us to keep farming in our state. And we're proud to be able to be a fundraised organization.
How do you measure success?
We measure success largely by the number of farms we have conserved that are in farming. So some cases we're taking some land that hasn't been farmed recently. So the success becomes not only the conservation, but helping get a viable farm off the ground on that land as well. So that would be success.
What are your plans for the future?
To keep on doing what we're doing. But the way that land trusts work, by the way, and this is the yoke we carry, but proudly, is to set up systems such that the land that we've conserved is always conserved. It never enters the general marketplace and turns back into being vulnerable to parking lots. So it's really important that we build systems that mean that when we say we've conserved a farm, we have conserved it forever. So that's really an important objective. On the other hand, as I said, in our nearer term, although we always keep our eyes on the forever, in the nearer term, we're hoping that we increase our conservation from one a year to four a year because, frankly, the real estate market is speeding up again.
Are there groups in other parts of the U.S. similar to PCC Farmland Trust?
Well, there are 1,800 land trusts around the country, and a lot of them do agriculture or rangeland. So I don't mean to say that we're the only one. We're the only one doing what I would call organic farmland, although we recently heard of another small effort, and we say, great. But all land trusts are really around conservation practices. We want to add in that it needs to be working land, that it needs to be in production, and that it's really valuable to produce food. I'd have to say the local food enthusiasm that's across the country has infected the land trust world, too. But on the near term, nearby, we really enjoy a lot of organizations that take a piece of that larger puzzle and do incredible work, perhaps helping make sure that there are more producers. We have to lead with WSU, an important producer of producers and supporter of food producers. But we work with organizations. The Tilth Producers is an important organization that helps support sustainable and organic farmers across our state. We work very closely with Cascade Harvest Coalition, which does a lot of great work, really helping us match farmers who are looking for land with land that we have available. So we're in a place, in fact, where there are so many great organizations, local government, counties. We work with countless counties, particularly in Western Washington, who are really also part of the team that says, let's make sure that farming stays viable.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Farming is viable. Small farming is a difficult enterprise, and yet there are these amazing entrepreneurs and farmers who have taken on that job, and they need land. And that's the piece that we're really working on, is to create opportunities for there to be affordable land in the near urban areas. So again, we're working a lot in Pierce County. We're working a lot in King County. We're working with our conservation districts, but that we can do it together, but that it is fragile. And we need the community to not only say, let's buy local, but also to say, what's it going to take to keep local? And there are a range of ways in which it's important that we dig in there and support farmers, the land that's available, and keep it conserved.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Rebecca. You were just listening to Rebecca Sadinsky, Executive Director of the PCC Farmland Trust. For more information, check on the web at pccfarmlandtrust.org. Again, that's pccfarmlandtrust.org. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. In addition, sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts, along with KEXP's music podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on demand, and then podcasting. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on listener-powered 90.3 FM and KEXP.org.